Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your man, Finesse, your co-host, and my co-host, Russell Lagan. Welcome to Urban Entrepreneurs. It is a no-holds-barred business conversation in which we teach you how to C-Y-O-C. What does that mean? Create your own check. Is there anybody out there this evening who wants to learn how to CYOC, create your own check? Well, if you are there, if you want to create your own check, then this is the broadcast for you. Excuse me, Russ, how you doing tonight, Doc?
Man, I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
I'm glad. Tell me why.
Listen, man, anytime we talk about creating your own check, man, I want to get down with that, man, you know?
Hey, brother.
That's a wonderful thing, man, to get that money on your own.
You know, it's a wonderful thing. And I think, let me talk about announce the title of the show tonight. It's the entrepreneurs, and I said entrepreneurs mindset, and I'm going to change it because it should be the entrepreneurs motivation. let me change that real fast. Let's see, what is this? Urban entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs. Got to make sure I spell it right. Motivation.
Right. Don't mess up the information, man.
No,
get
man,
right.
we can't do that. So Russ, you know, it's interesting. All right. So, Russ, I tell you what. Talk a little bit about what an entrepreneur is and kind of give the angle and tie it into mindset, because our guest tonight is still trying to log on. And I have to deal with him, man. So you take over for a few minutes. We're going to see if we can make this happen.
Mike, I just want to say this, man. It is so important that we're doing this show, because there's a lot of people out there in the community, you know, in our listening and our viewing audience who want to get down in business, who hear the word entrepreneur. They see all these people on television. They see these nice, fancy cars going by, but they don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
An entrepreneur, man, it's a long, complicated word, and oftentimes people misspell it, but it's a person has an idea about something they want to present to the public, you know, whether it be a product or service. Oftentimes people, they feel that they can introduce that product or service for a fee, and that people are going to like it. That's different than, as we were talking about before, about working for somebody, because now you're your own boss, you know, and that ties into the mindset. You got to be willing to take on that risk. You got to be willing to do that legwork. You got to be your manager, your leader, your human resource person, your cheerleader, all that stuff in one, to be able to go out here and do this thing. But anybody can do it. So the mindset, as we were talking about before, the steps are pretty simple. They're pretty straightforward. There's some basic things that we have to do, but that internal motivation, that desire and willingness to take on that risk is key.
You know, it definitely is. And you said something interesting. Anybody can be an entrepreneur. And I'm still trying to get Mace on.
Well, we're going to keep getting on. Hopefully, Mace will come in and provide the needed color. But we're going to keep, we're going to educate people a little bit. Just want to give you a little bit of feedback from a couple of people the last show, and they said that they appreciated you and I were able to break it down to some simple terms and demystify the process, because that's part of what keeps people from doing a lot of this stuff. They think it's complicated and sophisticated.
Demystify
the process.
Now, I'm getting feedback that I've never gotten before, Russ. Can you hear reverb? Let me just check. Okay. Testing 1, 2. Okay. We're good. Can you hear me, Russ?
I can hear you very good.
All right. So that reverb ended. So we're still trying to bring our guests on. In the meantime, as we do, Russ, we've got to adapt. So this is the thing. There's nothing mystical about being an entrepreneur. All right. All right. Here we go. Mae Smallwood, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. It's a great evening. I'm loving it for the great state of New Jersey. Let's do this thing.
All right. So, Mace, what I need you to do, man, just move over to your left because I got kind of the – there you go. Just move over to your left a little bit more or your right.
Let me do this a little bit. Let me move the camera, not me.
There you go. So, everybody
– is it okay?
Yes, perfect. So, everybody, listen, okay. We got my man Mace Smallwood here tonight talking about the entrepreneur's motivation. May say hello to my co-host, Russell Ligon, fellow urban entrepreneur.
Sir Russell, I am pleased to meet you, definitely.
Sir Russell.
You guys are amazing. I love this.
Sir Russell.
Glad to have you on and everything. Listen, real quick, before we get into this entrepreneur thing, now, I know the name Mace. Now, is it Mace? Because I'm waiting for you to spit some urban rap. Is it Mace? It's the old school soul. What's it going to be now? Because, you know, we got a lot of people listening in, you know, tuning in. What's it going to be?
It's funny because I always tell them that guy's a poser. He took my name. That's not right. He'll do some royalties right now. I want to see them fall.
Okay.
And Daryl Clark, thank you for logging on. I always, Mace, and Mace, check your timeline because, Russell, I shared the link with you on your timeline, so you should be able to see that and share it accordingly with your people. So,
right. So
it's interesting. We were just talking about the fact that being an entrepreneur is not mystical. It's far from. It's very, very concrete, very, very empirically driven. It's about a skill set and a mindset. So Mace, before we look into that, I want the audience to get to know you. So let's take a few minutes. Tell us about yourself.
Well, this is my story.
Thank you. Thanks for those who logging on.
Pretty bunch thing here. It's one of the things I tell people that I don't have any story that is any different than anyone else. Mine may seem a little bit more pizzazz, but you know what? I'm just a normal guy. I started like everybody else. I was a kid. I grew up on Air Force, Army bases, Marine bases, all that kind of fun stuff.
Okay.
I traveled the world. By the time I was 9 years old, I was coming back to the U.S. So I've been all over the globe. I've been in 44 countries. It's a lot. Well, the interesting about that is when I got here, I found that I had to join the, I call it the rat race. So I jumped in full force. I decided I was a kid that was a little bit different. I loved outdoor activities. I became an Eagle Scout, did the CAP. I was an overachiever at a very young age. So once I got that done, I was like, oh, this is great. Let's jump into this thing and live the American dream. Anyway, I said that. So I jumped in. I took care of myself in the sense of university level education. I first went into the military as an enlisted man, won a scholarship via the Marine Corps Enlisted Commissioning Program. After I was an enlisted man, I became a naval officer. So, and I did a bunch of things in the Navy there. I was, again, all over the world doing different activities, some not so good, some good. Left that endeavor, ended up in the corporate sector, started out, got promoted 9 times in 9 years, and ended up as a executive in the corporate sector. So at that point, I got to that level of corporate sector, put 36 letters behind my name, which I only tell you that for one big reason, because it means nothing.
Why does it mean nothing?
Okay, why it means nothing is that standardized education. You know what? It's great if you're going to stay as that employee. It's wonderful if you're going to be that politician. But as an entrepreneur, you know what that really means? It means, oh, great, you got standardized education. Now, stop there and start learning.
True.
Start learning by doing the activities to help you grow as an entrepreneur.
You know what Robert Kiyosaki said? He said that the entrepreneur's education never stops. That's something I'll never forget. It never stops. There's always another level, right? There's always the next level.
In fact, it's kind of funny you say that. You say Kiyosaki. He was a Marine Corps pilot. When he did his thing, I did the Navy flight school thing. But it's kind of interesting is that he's a couple few years older than me, but I ended up becoming a student of his. So I went through the Rich Dad Poor Dad mentoring program.
Really?
So that was, oh no, entrepreneur's education never stopped.
Never stopped.
So what I did was, huh?
I said it never stops. Thanks for those who are logging on.
So I jumped into that full force. I decided, you know what? I need to change. And my short story in that little bit is very simple. I found that as a naval officer, I found as a corporate executive, I found that all the endeavors I had in life, that the one thing that didn't change was that they kept changing the rules on me. Every time I got to a certain level, they go, oh, I'm sorry, you got to have this. So I got another master's. I'm sorry, you got to have this. So I got a, got a doctorate. I'm sorry, you got to have this. It never changed. The ceiling kept moving. You know what I said after that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the rules changing. I need my own boss. So a couple years ago, I stepped out, and this is what I do now. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I'm on the right side of the quadrant. If you know anything about Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant,
yes.
I'm on the right side. I do my business, and I invest.
You know, it's interesting. You said a lot, Mason, and I appreciate all that you shared. That it's a good tie-in to the minds, the motivation of the entrepreneur. Because in many respects, and Russ, feel free to jump in, I know as an entrepreneur, what motivates me is not money. It's financial freedom.
Well, I got to tell you, in my case, it's time freedom.
Time freedom.
I decided that, you know what? I
time
was on
freedom.
A plane 3 times a week for that company. I was making them close to, we're talking rev, about $1 billion when it came to $770,000, $770 million. I'm sorry. So you're talking about making a lot of money for these guys.
That's a lot of
and
money.
TT for them, you know? They pay me, you know, a couple hundred thousand a year.
Right. And you and how much did you make for them?
Well, it was over the $250,000 mark. But so for them, I'm close to $770 million.
$770 million. And of that, whatever fraction you received was probably nowhere near what you merited. And this is the thing. It is the owners of the corporation. I was going to say means of production, but then I'd sound like a Marxist, which I'm not. you're listening to Urban Entrepreneurs, and we're teaching you how to CYOC. I'm your co-host, Vanessa, along with my co-host, Russell Lagan. Special guest tonight, Mae Smallwood. So it's the owners of the corporation who make the most money, and we're paid as little as the owners of the corporation can pay us and still get us to work. That is why, in many respects, people call a job a just over broke.
Just over broke. It's crazy, but that's very true. Because what happened? They had me running like crazy. I'm flying to Goya.
Yes.
Then I'm in Oregon. Then I got to fly over to Connecticut. Then I'm back down to Miami. This is all in 1 week.
1 week.
That's crazy.
It is
Once
insane.
Once I got back to Japan, I kept moving. I was in my house maybe, I laugh about this with my lady. I say, I was in my house maybe 2 days out of the week. It was a closet. I walked in. I had a person that did my laundry and everything else. She'd fold my stuff back up, put my shirts back up. I would call up my Nordstrom shopper, and she would send me new shirts or whatever I needed. And
mm-hmm.
So everything was, my house was a closet. That's all it was. I despised my existence.
So, Russ, why don't you jump in, man? Talk a little bit about your journey to entrepreneurship, and then Mace, I want you to jump back in to talk about what motivates an entrepreneur. And I shout out to Daryl Clark, Deborah Walker, Pamela Cartwright, who's been commenting in the chat, and Jennifer Mandel.
Amy and Jen, how you doing?
Mike. Both you gentlemen said something very interesting, and this concept I'm going to talk about briefly applies to a lot of different areas, but it certainly is applicable to the mindset of an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Mason's journey, and he mentioned all the different alphabet he has behind his name. Well, I certainly don't have as many as he has, but I think that the difficulty is that we are socialized and trained through the school system through culture, through the media, through our parents, you know, or the people that raised us, to get that education so that we can do right, fulfill that American dream, and go work for somebody else so that we can have job security.
And there's no such thing.
Right. Well, we know there's no such thing now, certainly after 2008, 2009, when it just completely disrupted everything. But to have that job security, so we're socialized that it's okay for us to serve someone else's financial interest.
Well said.
Instead of what May said, which I'm a firm believer in, which has been the impetus behind my transition, because I still got one foot in the working for somebody else.
Same here.
And start my own thing, is that financial freedom. Security versus freedom. What do you want? Security versus freedom. I want freedom. And I realize that over the years, when I look back, I went to school. I went to undergraduate school, got my little degree in sociology and business, went to graduate school and everything. And the funny thing about it is that as much as I made nowhere near almost 750 million, but I would say in the millions of dollars in terms of writing grants and running programs and other things that I've done in the nonprofit sector. But always there was that thought in my mind that I want to do my own thing, because no matter what I did, it was never enough. I stayed many nights writing grants, doing budgets, and it was never enough. There was always something else for someone else. But here, what we're talking about with that entrepreneurial spirit, that journey, I'm realizing that, man, I should have been doing this a long time ago. I feel better. There's that personal ownership, that sense of satisfaction. What I put into it, I get out of it. You know what I mean? There's a
yes.
lot of different reasons. So that journey has been more, like you say, you never stop learning. It's been a journey of self-acceptance and a desire to make my own thoughts and wishes known, and to go against what somebody else thinks I should do in terms of going and punching that clock. There's nothing wrong with that, because a lot of us have to keep one foot in one area, because that's where a lot of our seed money comes from. That's where a lot of our beginning customers and clients come from, the people in the work world. But being able to make that full transition is a continuous journey, because you have to continuously educate yourself on your target audience, the risk involved,
yes.
financial issues, how to do some different things with your money, prioritizing yourself. And let me tell you something, man. As soon as I can get both feet on the one side, the better off I'll be.
So let me take a quick break here. And you're listening to Urban Entrepreneurs and watching Urban Entrepreneurs, where we teach you to CYOC, a no-holds-barred business conversation. If you want to join us in the chat, feel free, like Pamela Cartwright and others who joined us in the chat. If you want to call in, because we simulcast with Blog Talk Radio and Be Live TV, you can call in 657-383-0106, 657-383-0106. Press 1 to be placed into the queue. We have a special guest tonight, Mace Smallwood. So, Mace, listen, what motivates the entrepreneur?
Okay, that's an interesting question.
All right.
This is my take on it.
All right.
Very simply, entrepreneurs aren't motivated. They're driven.
Wow. Okay.
You've got to be driven if you're going to do this, because entrepreneurs are the purest form of capitalists. Uh-oh, I'm doing that word, that C word.
Uh-oh, it's okay. So entrepreneurs, so Mace, you're taking a totally different take on this. I like that.
Okay.
I'm actually putting this in the chat.
Okay, so it's interesting. A lot of people believe an entrepreneur to me is a person that can take an idea, a concept, something people can't wrap their heads around, and they're able to go to people and go, this is what this is, help explain it, help bring them forward into it. And then it's by doing that, they bring their belief level up in it, they help them conceptualize and be able to understand it, and then they're able to use those people's resources to help bring it to fruition.
So
all of a sudden, what do you have? Opportunity for everyone.
So, Mace, what drives you?
What drives me?
What drives you?
What drives me is the need, the pure desire not to ever have to answer to those individuals in the E quadrant again.
All right. So what I need you to do, because I know those quadrants, Russ, I'm sure you do.
I'm explaining.
Yeah, for those who don't, because it's very, very important. Most people are in the E quadrant. They're employees.
Right.
That said, I don't want to spoil it. So we're giving free advertising, Robert Kiyosaki, and it's okay, because Robert Kiyosaki has made the principles of wealth intelligible to the middle class. So I don't have a problem giving him some free press. So Mace, explain those quadrants, please.
Okay, in the idea of the quadrants, the four quadrants that people fall in or reside in, is usually the E quadrant, which are employees. Employees believe in things like job security. Oh yeah, steady paycheck. All those great things were taught from the industrial age, the 1950s kind of concept.
Yes.
That we have loyalty to a company. Okay. Next, underneath that is the S quadrant. Okay. The S quadrant is that person that owns their own business. You know what? And to put it simply, the S quadrant, people in that business do everything. They are the system. If you're an E quadrant, you work for a system. If you're in the S quadrant, you are the system. You're the janitor. You're the person that cleans up the office. You're the person that takes out the trash, services the customer, does it all. I mean, it's just amazing. Then we have, that's the left side of the quadrant. What that is, that represents is that you are a slave to a system in one way or another. Okay? So think about, this is a regular block, E, S. Then jump over to the right side, you have B and I. The I quadrant, the B quadrant, are those that basically have a system but don't work for it. The system works for them.
Yes.
Okay? So the last one is the I quadrant. The I quadrant, there's a system and you invest in it.
And
very simply.
And that's the ultimate, that's the ultimate in entrepreneurship, and at least according to Robert Kiyosaki, that we want to be that investor. We want to be that Shark Tank person to make it kind of put some feet on it in real time. We want to be that person. He says the ultimate in entrepreneurship is taking a company public. Would you agree with that, Mason?
I don't agree with that statement.
Okay.
I think the ultimate entrepreneurship is being able to, one, control the system or have the system work for you, and then be able to invest into the investment system. So you see on that wealth, that rich side of the quadrant.
Yeah.
And when I say wealth, a lot of people understand the idea of wealth. Wealth means that, one, you have assets that go further than your expenditures, and then you have a permanency factor that goes above that. What I mean by that is, if I have 50% bills, I need 50% assets to cover that, but then if I get another 33% above that, guess what? It's all permanency. It's money that comes in constantly. It's called cash flow.
Wow. Russ, Mace, the reason I love doing this show is because we drop jewels. You see what I'm saying? So those who are watching, Pamela Cartwright, Jennifer Mandel, Alan Hodgson, Daryl Clark, others, we appreciate it. Listen, I hope you're taking notes, because this is far more than the entrepreneur's motivation, though we're talking about the entrepreneur's motivation. And Mace, one of the things you said is entrepreneurs are driven. So Russell, what is the entrepreneur's motivation? What motivates the entrepreneur?
Okay.
I'm going to say vision. It's not different with what Mace said. It's a vision. I have this vision. I like to clean. I like to be able to go in and organize and clean. So I got this cleaning and pest control thing that I'm doing. That's just my interest. But I want to be able to do it so people can go in and, oh man, this place smells great. This place feels great. That's, as weird as that sounds, that's the motivation for me. But I think it's the combination of things. I think the motivation and what drives you may change at different times, because there may be a motivation just to get your single out. Once you get your single out, you just I want to tell people about this business. I want to get some customers in here. And at some point, it may be to make money. But I think ultimately, it's what motivates you, because everybody's not motivated by money. You get money.
Mm.
You recognize the value and the need for money. But as May said, that be able to own your own time, being able to make enough resources so where you can spend more time with your family, you can travel, so it's going to change maybe as what you get from the business changes, your motivation may change.
So I'm going to put this in the chat, and I'm going to invite people to chime in. What motivates you? How many entrepreneurs do we have who are watching or listening? What motivates you? What motivates me is financial freedom and wealth building. It's not things. It's not materialism. It's financial freedom. It's having the option not to go to work. Right?
That's perfect. I like that.
Right? True that, Pamela Cartwright. Having the option not to go to work. You
that's
see,
the idea.
And moving beyond, as Robert Kiyosaki says, the 50% money crisis, because
let's go there. Our fiat currency.
You understand? Though I work in sales, and let me just say this parenthetically. I think sales is entrepreneurship without the ownership, and I think.
Agree.
And I think, and Mesa, I appreciate that, Russ. I see you nodding your head, and I want to say this. For anybody who is an aspiring entrepreneur, before you invest your own money or other people's money, and Robert Kiyosaki also said this, he said, get a sales job. Because there are two things entrepreneurs have to be able to do. One is sell, the other is raise money. If you can't sell or raise money, then you're not an entrepreneur.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a good way to learn business without investing your own or other people's money. So
exactly.
Definitely. So it's time freedom. What motivates the entrepreneur? Time freedom, vision, financial freedom, and wealth building. When can you consider yourself an entrepreneur? All right. So Mace, I'm gonna throw that at Darryl Clark. What's up, Doc? DJ, my brother. Hey man, we appreciate it. So Mace, you're our special guest tonight. Darryl Clark, a friend of mine, bodybuilder. He's asking, when can you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
You know what? That's an interesting question. A lot of people think there's some magical time you become an entrepreneur. It is not. The moment you make that 5-second decision and you said there's something more for my life, you become an entrepreneur. Now, at that point, that's great. Now, guess what you have to do? Develop the skill to show that you're the entrepreneur. How do you become that capitalist where you can raise funds at the same time instill belief, be able to bring something forward so other people will follow you and they will, and you can lead?
Well said. And I've said this, I think, and then Russ, I want you to add to this. I think entrepreneurship is a mindset before it's a skill set. And
right.
And I don't think Mace, Russ, the skill set can be taught. I'm on an email list from Richard Branson, the chairman of the Virgin Group, and their entrepreneurship schools, workshops, institutes. And gentlemen, you know, chime in. I don't think you can teach the mindset. I think the mindset has to exist. The skill set can be taught. What do you guys think? Russ, first you, then Mace.
I agree with that 100% because some people – I don't want to say by nature or by training, by socialization, don't think that way. They can learn it, but the entrepreneur is a special type of person. It's a special type of, they see things a different way. They're willing the excitement, the drive, the willingness to take on that risk, and they're willing to go out and learn. But as we were talking about in another show, you can teach the skill sets, but you can't teach the motivation.
Mace, what do you
know? And teach the person how to motivate, be motivated. They gotta have that.
Mace, what do you say?
I'm saying I'm not saying you're wrong, but I disagree.
Okay.
I'm saying that a person can become an entrepreneur through suffering, through some type of catalyst that makes their life different, that pulls them forward.
So wow.
Don't necessarily be born one. Or has to become one in this gradual manner. My journey to entrepreneurship,
yes.
I'm doing great. I'm flying jets. I'm having a great life. You know what? It took suffering for me to understand that I was not in the right place.
So,
and I didn't know there was a name for this thing called entrepreneurship.
Russ.
Mace, you know, I owe you an apology because you just told my life story. When you said through suffering.
The crucible of suffering.
If that's the definition, I'm 100% with that. Because that's part of the way how I'm gotten to this point. I'm tired of suffering.
Pain.
Tired of coming up short. Tired of having somebody else tell me what to do. Tired of not being able to do those different things that I want to do or be able to do those things for my children. So I'm going to agree with you.
Well, you know, let me tell you the suffering that I'm coming from. And I just want to, Darrell Clark, just want to make sure that Mace answered your question satisfactorily. It sounded good to me, but just want to make sure that that Mace answered your question. So I'm just writing in the chat, gentlemen. You ever been in a situation where the people who make more money than you are not as smart as you? Yeah, I mean, I'm serious. Like, you read the emails of people who make more money than you, and they're not as smart as you. That's suffering, too, because you're like, wait a minute. You make this, and you write like that? You understand? So it's those kind of things, gentlemen, and viewing and listening audience, that motivated me into the world of entrepreneurship 11 years ago. You understand? And realizing that the only way that I'm going to be paid what I'm worth is to pay myself. And I don't know whether I read this or whether I saw this on a video. Listen to this, everybody. Well paid, not rich now, but well paid, four times one's age. So anybody watching, listening, and Ricky Vera, thank you so much, sir, for your ongoing support. You know, take your age and multiply it by four. That's well paid. And if you're not making four times your age, then the question becomes, how can you make four times your age? I want to submit that it's when you pay yourself.
Well, I don't know about being four times my age, but I'll tell you right now, that's still not good enough for me.
I get it. Hey, Doc, look, until I got a bill, it ain't good enough for me. I'm just, well, you know, sometimes we got to incrementally stimulate people to rise higher. So, you know, to maybe start with four times his age. And also Valerie Cloven Orgel, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, you have to be willing to change your situation. Maceo was right. Love my former classmate. And Ricky Vera, the definition of suffering is simply growing pains. That's right. So we're talking tonight, everybody. Thank everybody for your comments. The entrepreneur's motivation. So what is it? What is it, gentlemen, starting with Mace, that keeps you motivated? Because it, listen, let's keep it real.
Okay.
It's not easy being an entrepreneur.
No, far from.
Because if it were easy to be an entrepreneur, everybody would be one. But most people choose to work a job. Most people choose 50% money. Most people choose so-called job security. Most people are in the rat race.
Yeah.
So with the setbacks, with the frustrations in team building, with little or no capital, or having to continue to raise capital, all of the things which we entrepreneurs are about. Mace, what keeps you motivated?
What keeps you motivated is, Russ said earlier, it's very simple. I keep my eyes on my vision, one thing. But two, I work my vision on a daily basis. When I first get up in the morning, the first things I do, I meditate. Things I do, I read. Third thing I do, I have a motivational setup of some type of motivational speech or something that I do when I listen to from YouTube or wherever it may be, or one of my old classes or something. But this is like I show people this. And a lot of people know the 168 rule. Got 168 hours in a day. I count for every hour of my day. And this is a quickie of my calendar. Just real quick for you. If you notice, it goes all the way through until 10 o'clock when I go to sleep on the button. Okay? And what do I do in that time? I do something that stimulates my brain. I have personal growth stuff that I do every single day. When I wake up in the morning, like I said, I find something that's going to keep me motivated and excited about my day when I get out of bed. But I'm driven. I literally, some days, it's 4:45, right? My eyes pop open. I usually don't get up like 5:30. And I get in and I start doing my routine. Every day I read something that's going to stimulate this and help this grow a little bit more.
Russell, what keeps you motivated? Mace, thank you. And there's so much that you've said. You were dropping jewels, brother. I saw platinum and diamonds and rubies dripping from your lips, my man.
keep his appointment.
Yeah. Russ.
I think for me, it's a combination of things, but more immediate for me is it's a kind of like a dynamic interplay between the vision I have for the service that I want to provide, but also that the desire to no longer suffer, and that changes. So it's like a little call and response, a little play and catch. I'm tired of suffering, so it keeps motivating me, but that keeps the vision out there, and I kind of go back and forth between the two, you know, because I really want to be able to achieve that level of financial and time freedom that both you gentlemen were talking about, because it then will enable me to make money when I'm not even working, to use my time to spend more time with my children and, you know, the people I love, and to be able to, I guess, that, you know, that Maslow's, you know, hierarchy
of needs,
self-actualization, you know what I mean?
Yes,
to
sir.
Be able to be more useful to myself and the people that I'm connected to, including the people who are part of my entrepreneurial efforts.
You help people get what they want, you get what you want.
And you're not intimidated, or you're not, you don't feel that it shortens you to inspire and motivate other people to make money.
Yeah. You know,
it's okay to help other people make money.
It's very okay to help people make money. And that's one of the things I want to do, is to help people build wealth. So let me back up and say this. I forgot the gentleman I read. Gentlemen, tell me what you think, listening, viewing audience. Millionaire is the new middle class.
That's correct. Yeah.
Listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Millionaire is the new middle class, because the middle class, gentlemen, is today, it's not what I was raised to think of what it was. Right?
Yeah. Right.
You get you go to school, go to college and or graduate school, you get a good job, and that's the ticket to the middle class. And that may have been true up until 2008, right? The mortgage crisis. And then prior to that, I think it was 2005, 2006, the number one cause of bankruptcy was medical expenses. So the paradigm has shifted.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone through the, as Mace, as you started off, the agricultural age, the industrial age, the information age. Now we're in the digital age. So literally for a fraction of what it would have cost 10, 15, 20 years ago, we have Be Live TV and Blog Talk Radio. So we're literally on TV and radio via the internet, the digital age.
Right.
Where Mace is where he is, Russ is where he is, I am where I am. We are not in the same location, but we're able to come together and talk about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
And, one of the things that you said, Mike, I think is very important, and I hope that our viewers get this, and that's the big word that you use, paradigm.
The paradigm shifted.
Way of thinking, a mindset. Any one of us, anyone out there, can immediately begin that transition to entrepreneurship and change in their life, but they have to change their mindset.
Yes.
They have to stop desiring to appear to be successful. They have to stop modeling the behavior of others.
Being rich,
that expensive car.
Being rich and cash poor. So, and Russell, I'm interjecting because I agree with you 100%. Too many people, they ball out without the bills. You understand? And we can't confuse things for wealth. And Ricky Vera, I'm going to tie this into what you wrote in the chat. Money loves assets, and assets love money, not things. Assets produce income and compound interest. Things produce nothing. That's why that new car is not an investment. It begins to depreciate the minute you drive it off the lot.
30%. it's gone. People don't understand that. And just to jump back just a little bit,
sure.
Remember, everybody, paradigm is a fancy word for belief.
Yes.
And usually it's a belief that is held by a wide range of people all together in the same area. So if you believe, think about sheep and lemmings. That's my favorite thing to say. I call people normies because everybody will run towards something you say sale. But that's an interesting thing. They go, we're going to save money. But you know the funny thing about that is? If you don't spend money, you don't lose any money to begin with.
Right.
And then if you take that money and you invest it into an asset, you start that cash flow, as the one person in the chat said, you start that cash flow cycle going. Guess what? Your liabilities start disappearing because you're not buying what we call in the Kiyosaki world doodads.
Exactly. And the wealthy, a couple of things. The wealthy teach the secrets of wealth at the dinner table.
Yes.
You know, we don't learn it in the university, and the wealthy save and invest to buy assets, which then buy more assets.
Yeah, exactly. So their cash flow is continuous and increases. It increases and increases.
And increases.
Mike, I'm just supposed to amaze. No, I remember reading a very important book, and I know you gentlemen probably read the same book, The Millionaire Next Door.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Read that book.
Yes, I remember.
The average millionaire has a Toyota Camry or Honda Accord or something like that in their driveway. They don't have a brand new Mercedes or Lexus. Some of them do, but the average person does not. So what does that tell you? You know, you can't waste your money on these things. Think practical. The cars, the transportation. You know, so a lot of entrepreneurs and millionaires alike are internally motivated. You know, that motivation comes from the inside, not for the things, but the process. They want to succeed.
I want to interject and simply say, also remember something, that most entrepreneurs that are moving towards those quadrants we were talking about earlier, what do they have? Routines that keep them focused, like you said, playing catch back and forth, okay?
Yeah.
Routines that focus them on their vision. They write them down. I wish I could show you, but I have things written down that are my goals are stuck in three different places. On the door before I leave it, it's written there. On the mirror that I look in the morning, because that's the accountability mirror. I look in that mirror, I can't lie to anybody else. It's me.
Wow. You're starting with the man in the mirror. You're starting with the man in the mirror.
I got it on my lamp right behind me in my bedroom. So I wake up, I look up, I see my goal automatically. Get into a routine, start focusing. Discipline, like Valerie said, is one of the biggest things you can ever do for your life. It separates, you know, like we said, that Lord of the Rings, you know, the nine rings, the one ring to rule them all. Well, if you have all these skill sets that you find important, the biggest skill set, the one that will bind them, is discipline. That is the ring.
So Mace, there's someone watching or listening who may find that their motivation is diminishing.
Okay.
They're entrepreneurs. They have the vision, as Russell was talking about. They want time freedom, as you have referred to. They want financial freedom and wealth, as I'm talking about. But right now, they're demotivated. What do you have to say to them to help ignite that passion again?
Well, a couple things. The biggest thing is, get out of your own head and get away from yourself. What I'm saying, get on programs like this. You get other like-minded people speak. They'll give you that motivation. They'll give you that social acceptance. That's the word. Social acceptance. We are born creatures of social acceptance. We don't believe anything works. Let's see other people do it. Guess what? You got a bunch of folks here. They're on this call going, I got this. This is mine. I'm going to show you how to do this. Get around those folks. Don't isolate yourself. Don't start putting yourself into a little box. Then from there, what do? From there, start looking for those little pieces of those little nuggets, like Mike was saying about pulling those things down. What is that from? Get on the YouTube. Pull off those videos for motivation. At the same time, start reading.
Yes.
People, oh, my gosh. There's so much out there. When you start reading, I got to say, when I first read The Creatures of Jekyll Island, I went through that this past weekend, and I got to tell you, I got scared. I got scared, but it got me more motivated. Why is that? Because we start learning about the fiat system of our cash and what it really means, the central bank, you start going, oh my God, the Federal Reserve is not really federal? No, it's the central bank. They just use that word so people aren't scared of them. They print money out of magic machines.
Hey,
you know?
So 1 second, Pamela Cartwright. To Russell. Russell, you just pulled a DJT45 move with that water drink. I was looking, yo.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, well, you know, listen.
TJ. Right. There you go.
All right, Pamela Cartwright. We appreciate you being part of this. And listen, we like to infotain, right?
Right,
that's what
right.
We like. We're giving information, but we're doing it in an entertaining manner. So, Russ, Mace, thank you, Russ. How somebody's demotivated, man. What do you say to them?
You know what? I think that one of the things that Mace said, you can't isolate yourself. You have to, if you want to be successful, even if you're not ready to go out and invest and jump in. Be around the people that you want to be like. Go, you know, attend a conference, pick up a book, get a video, find someone that's already doing something that you want to do. Ask some questions. One thing I want to interject and say that in addition to the discipline that Mace is referring to is start paying yourself. That's one of the things to do. Start paying yourself,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just $5 a paycheck, the next paycheck, pay yourself $10. Start paying yourself the discipline of managing your money. If you can't manage small pieces of money, you're not going to be able to manage larger pieces
true,
of money. So
true.
Discipline yourself and start paying yourself first and stop buying a new shirt and put a couple of dollars away.
Listen to what Deion Sanders said.
And then start investing.
He said, money makes you more of who you really are.
True.
Then that can be good or bad.
Interesting about that is that people don't understand something. The mindset, back to mindset.
Mindset.
Stay with me here. That mindset you have, you were raised around a table where most people didn't understand how to handle money, how to handle cash flow. When you say pay yourself, kind of interesting. My mentor had me set up three banks, very simply.
Mm.
One says tithe, one says investment, and one says savings. Every day, I put something in every single one of those little banks.
I like
they're,
that.
They're Tupperware containers, okay? And what do? Why do I tithe? Because people don't understand something. They think they got to make all this money before they give. No, but I found out that as soon as you start giving, guess what starts happening? Universe goes reciprocate, reciprocal actions coming back.
Agreed. It's funny. Russell Simmons, and I've quoted this a number of times. He said it maybe 2-3 years ago. And I agree, Mace, to your point, good givers are great getters.
Yes, they are.
Good givers are great getters. So in a real sense, and thank you for those who are logging on continually, if we want more, then we need to give more. And it's almost counterintuitive because this society doesn't teach us that. It teaches that if you want more, you've got to hoard more or take more or deceive more people or manipulate more. But the universe or higher power creator, good givers are great getters. And it's simply the law of sowing and reaping, the law of reciprocity.
Yeah. And the funny thing about that is you want to prove it to yourself tomorrow? Everybody, you can do this. Something you can do. Walk outside. Go to your workplace and smile as big as you can. What happens?
It tends to be contagious.
Are coming back at you.
Yes.
So you want to prove it to yourself? There you go. Yeah. Simple experiment. We're not just going to let you listen to us. We're going to give you stuff to do. But I also want to add in one big thing.
Sure.
That a lot of people understand something. Don't just isolate yourself. Remember something very important. The five people you spend most of your life around, the five. You become the average of those five.
Wow. Say that again. May say that again. The five people you spend most time around.
Yep. So think about that. So if you have friends that are on the spectrum who are Debbie Downers or whatever you may call it, guess what? That brings down that group. That's basically your mastermind group. Those are the folks going to help you either rise or sink further down. So you know what? I aspire to be the dumbest, the person that is in the worst shape in every mastermind group I get to. Why is that? Because those people are going to raise me up.
Richard Branson.
You're looking for people who are going to sleep on your sofa and go, oh, it's okay. You don't need to do that tomorrow.
Exactly. Richard Branson said, if you are the smartest person in the room, find a new room.
Find a new room. That's right, man.
if you're the smartest person in the room, find a new room. So
yeah.
I want to end with this. Mace, how does one develop the entrepreneur's mindset?
That's an interesting question. I'm not going to try to belabor it again. I'm going to say it like this and say it straight. You can develop the entrepreneur's mindset very simply by making a 5-second decision, sticking to that decision, and understanding that you will go through pain and suffering to hold on to that decision.
Mm.
That decision needs to be coupled with your vision, needs to be coupled with your goal, needs to be coupled with your steps to get to those goals. So once you do that, you're going to teach yourself within 21 days how to stick to the entrepreneurial mindset. It's going to take some time. I did through suffering. Most of you did through suffering, as we talked about. But I didn't come to that decision immediately that I was an entrepreneur and I was going to try to break out of this thing. I went through several days of suffering, and I finally said, I got to write down what I really want. Then I went, okay, now I know what I want. So what are my goals to get there? Okay, I wrote those down. And then I had this funny little calendar that I flip back on. I have daily goals that I try to accomplish every single day. You know what? I'm not going to make them all. It's not going to happen. But do I give up? No. I simply go, okay, great. Now, I need to focus back on this one because that's an area of weakness. And that's what an entrepreneur does. It finds their areas of weakness, and you eradicate them by what? Through knowledge. Learning, after you start getting the learning done, then what comes next? The awareness, and then comes the proficiency, then comes the earning.
I like that. Russ, how does one develop the entrepreneur's mindset?
Listen to me.
Tune in to Urban Entrepreneurs, where we teach you how to CYOC through a no-holds-barred business conversation.
That's right. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. I think, you know, and if that's too much, just take just one or two of those things and work on it a little at a time. Put some study time in there. Put some time where you start to pay yourself, like small things. Spend some time, you know, at the library or in a business group instead of around your friends. Change your group. Small things beget larger things. They become seeds, and once you start to water them with your time, with your interest, they'll start to grow.
Susan Hopewell, thank you for logging on. Mace, listen, I promise you this, and I'm going to follow through. I know that you were involved in a network marketing company. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
You know, I do.
Thanks, Pamela Cartwright. You're adorable also.
What I want to tell people is that getting involved in a network marketing company, I'm in Vaseo. That's what I picked after researching the ones I was thought to be best for me. But the biggest thing about network marketing company, folks, is don't run from them. Why do people run from them? Because they don't understand the benefit. The benefit is you learn business systems. You learn business systems. You learn how to understand the word no. And understanding it doesn't mean no, it means not right now. Or I'm afraid a lot of times. It teaches you how to build capital. It teaches you how to build a network. What is all this we're talking about? It teaches you to be a capitalist. What teaches you to be an entrepreneur? It's a must. Because not all of us can go out and buy a Arby's or a Papa John's. You got $1 million sitting around? A Papa John's right now, we're running about $365,000.
Okay?
Yeah, just to start it. So right now, you can get into a network marketing business, have your own personal franchise. How
great.
Wonderful is that? Okay? And like I said, I do Vaseo. I do nutraceuticals. But that's not why I'm here tonight. I'm here to teach you that these are business systems, folks. This is a key to you moving forward in your life in many ways. A lot of things I teach my people that are in this with me, my business associates, is that guess what? These are things you can use in every part of your life. You take them back to work. You can take them to when you go negotiate for a car. You can do a lot of things with this. But But you got to learn. But it's scary because people go, I'm out of my comfort zone. Guess what? Get over it, Buttercup. You got to get out of your comfort zone.
Get over it, Buttercup. Put on your big girl and big boy pants and get over it. It's true. It's true. Listen, I have been stretched more as an entrepreneur and in sales than I've ever been in any other part of my life because it being an entrepreneur forces you to get out of your comfort zone.
There you go.
Right? Approaching that person to ask them to be involved in your business, to approach that person to ask them to invest, to be part of the team. And it forces you to grow every single day.
It will find your weakness.
Well said. It will find your weakness. So, Mace, if someone wants more information about Viseo, they want to perhaps become part of your team, how do they get in touch with you?
Very simply. They either call me or they go to my website. My number, I'll say it out on the web. People enjoy it. 973-941-6976. My website is very simply, it's Vulcan, like Vulcan from Star Trek, VULCAN.VASAYO.com. Very simply.
Mace, listen, this has been a minute in development. Glad you're here, sir. Glad you're here. We've appreciated having you on. You know you have an open invitation to come back. You can call in. You can hit us up in the chat.
I enjoyed myself.
But listen, we enjoyed you also. Thank you for Ricky Vera. We're grateful for Susan Hopewell, Pamela Cartwright, Nicole Monique, Daryl Clark. I think I said Ricky Vera. Others who've been watching and listening. Russ, as always, man, you're my co-host, my partner. I won't say in crime, my partner in CYOC, teaching others how to create their own check. Right? So, Russ, any final words before we log off tonight?
Listen, man. I encourage everyone, tell somebody about the show, reach out to Mace, reach out to Mike, reach out to myself. You can do this. Start changing that mindset. Start investing. Start saving. Invest in yourself. If you want something better out of life, you got to invest in yourself.
Yes, personally.
Agreed.
And make sure you give thanks to God.
So listen, if you like the show, everybody, share it on your timeline. You can friend me. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, a.k.a. Finesse. We're broadcasting every other week on Tuesday evenings from 9 to 10. You can get in touch with Mace. You can friend Russell Ligon. And let's keep this thing going. If you have any comments after the show ends, hit us up in the chat and we'll make sure we answer. So you've been watching and listening to Urban Entrepreneurs, where we teach you how to CYOC, create your own check, via a no-holds-barred business conversation. I'm your co-host, Finesse, along with my co-host, Russell Ligon, and our special guest tonight, Mace Smallwood. Mace, as we say before we end.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. One love, everybody.
Give us a couple of lines before we go, man. Give us a couple of lines. Send a couple of lines for us.
One thing you never want to hear me do is sing.
That's it.
Forget it.
All right, everybody. Okay. As we say every time we leave, one love. See you soon.
All right. Wonderful show.
Are we still? We're not live anymore, are we?
We're done. I'm going to log us off right now.
Well, I just want to let you know, Jen, that was beautiful. Thank you very much. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, you're
Thank
welcome.
You for inviting me. I enjoyed myself.
Hey, same here. All right.
Plethora of information, my brother. I enjoyed it myself.
Yes, it was good.
I learned this way, too. I love this. I love hearing you guys.